Toxicology versus Virology, Rockefeller Institute and the Criminal Polio Fraud by F. William Engdahl. One of the outcomes of the alleged new SARS-CoV virus that publicly emerged in 2019 is that the medical specialization of virology has been raised to a stature almost godlike in the media. Few understand the origins of virology and its elevation into a leading role in today's medicine practice. For this, we need to look at the origins and politics of America's first medical research institute, the Rockefeller Institute for Medical Research, today Rockefeller University, and their work on what they claimed was a poliovirus. In 1907, an outbreak of a sickness in New York City gave the director of the Rockefeller Institute, Simon Flexner, MD, a golden opportunity to lay claim to discovery of an invisible virus caused by what was arbitrarily called poliomyelitis. The word poliomyelitis simply means inflammation of the spinal cord's gray matter. There were some 2,500 New Yorkers, mostly children, designated with some form of poliomyelitis, including paralysis and even death that year. Flexner's fraud. The most striking aspect of the entire polio saga in the USA during the first half of the 20th century was the fact that every key phase of the business was controlled by people tied to what became the Rockefeller Medical Cabal. This fraud started with claims by the director of the Rockefeller Institute, Simon Flexner, that he and his colleague, Paul A. Lewis, had isolated a pathogen, invisible to the eye, smaller even than bacteria, which they claimed caused the paralyzing sickness in a series of outbreaks in the US. How did they come to this idea? In a paper published in 1909 in the Journal of the American Medical Association, Flexner claimed he and Lewis had isolated the poliomyelitis virus responsible. He reported they had successfully passaged poliomyelitis through several monkeys, from monkey to monkey. They began by injecting diseased human spinal cord tissue of a young boy who had died, presumably from the virus, into the brains of monkeys. After a monkey fell ill, a suspension of its diseased spinal cord tissue was injected into the brains of other monkeys who also fell ill. They proclaimed that the Rockefeller Institute doctors had thus proven poliomyelitis virus causality for the mysterious disease. They hadn't done anything of the sort. Flexner and Lewis even admitted that we failed utterly to discover bacteria, either in film preparations or in cultures, that could account for the disease. And since among our long series of propagations of the virus in monkeys, not one animal showed in the lesions the cocci described by some previous investigators, and we had failed to obtain any such bacteria from the human material studied by us, we felt that they could be excluded from consideration. What they then did was to make a bizarre supposition, a leap of faith, not a scientific claim. They took their hypothesis of viral exogenous agency and made it fact with no proof whatsoever. They asserted, therefore, the infecting agent of epidemic poliomyelitis belongs to the class of the minute and filterable viruses that have not thus far been demonstrated with certainty under the microscope. Simon Flexner simply asserted it must be a poliovirus killing the monkeys because they could find no other explanation. In fact, he did not look for another source of the illnesses. This was not scientific isolation. It was wild speculation that have not thus far been demonstrated with certainty under the microscope. They admitted this in a December 18, 1909 follow-up in JAMA titled The Nature of the Virus of Epidemic Poliomyelitis. The so-called virus they were injecting into monkeys was hardly pure. It also contained an undetermined amount of contaminants. It included pureed spinal cord, brain, fecal matter. Even flies were ground up and injected into monkeys to induce paralysis. Until Jonas Salk won approval from the US government in April 1955 for a polio vaccine, no scientific proof of existence of a virus causing poliomyelitis or infantile paralysis, as it was commonly known, had been proven. That is the case to this day. The medical world all took Flexner's word that it must be a virus. Rockefeller Institute, Flexner, and the American Medical Association. The Rockefeller Institute was founded from the Standard Oil fortune of John D. Rockefeller in 1901 to be America's first biomedical institute. It was modeled on France's Pasteur Institute, 1888, and Germany's Robert Koch Institute, 1891. Its first director, Simon Flexner, played a pivotal and most criminal role in the evolution of what became approved American medical practice. The Rockefeller goal was to completely control American medical practice and transform it into an instrument, at least initially, for promotion of medical drugs approved by the Rockefeller interests. By then, they were looking to monopolize medical drugs produced from their petroleum refining, as they had done with oil. As Rockefeller Institute head Simon Flexner was publishing his inconclusive but highly acclaimed studies on polio, he arranged for his brother, Abraham Flexner, a schoolteacher with no medical background, to head a joint study by the American Medical Association, the Rockefeller General Education Board, and the Carnegie Foundation, funded by Rockefeller's close friend, Andrew Carnegie. The 1910 study was titled The Flexner Report, and its purpose was to investigate the quality of all U.S. medical schools. The outcome of the report was, however, predetermined. Ties between the well-endowed Rockefeller Institute and the AMA went through the corrupt AMA head, George H. Simmons. Simmons was also the editor of the influential Journal of the American Medical Association, a publication delivered to some 80,000 doctors across America. He reportedly wielded absolute power over the Doctors Association. He controlled the rising ad revenues for drug companies to promote their drugs to AMA doctors in his journal, a highly lucrative business. He was a key part of the Rockefeller medical coup that was to completely redefine acceptable medical practice away from remedial or preventative treatment to use of often deadly drugs and expensive surgeries. As head of the AMA, Simmons realized that the competition from a proliferation of medical schools, including then recognized chiropractic, osteopathy, homeopathy, and natural medicine, was lessening income of his AMA doctors, as the number of medical schools had increased from around 90 in 1880 to over 150 in 1903. Abraham Flexner, former headmaster of a private school, toured various U.S. medical schools in 1909 and recommended that fully half of the 165 medical schools be closed as what he defined as substandard. This reduced competition from other approaches to healing diseases. They ruthlessly targeted then widespread naturopathic medical schools, chiropractic ones, osteopaths, as well as independent allopathic schools unwilling to join the AMA regime. Then Rockefeller money went to the select schools with a proviso that professors be vetted by the Rockefeller Institute and the curriculum focus on drugs and surgery as treatment, not prevention, nor nutrition, nor toxicology as possible causes and solutions. They had to accept Pasteur's germ theory of disease, which claims one germ to one disease reductionism. Rockefeller-controlled media launched a coordinated witch hunt against all forms of alternative medicine, herbal remedies, natural vitamins, and chiropractic. Anything not controlled by Rockefeller-patented drugs. By 1919, the Rockefeller General Education Board and the Rockefeller Foundation had paid out more than $5 million to Johns Hopkins, Yale, and Washington University and St. Louis medical schools. In 1919, John D. Rockefeller granted another $20 million in securities for the advancement of medical education in the United States. That would be comparable to about $340 million today, a huge sum. In short, the Rockefeller money interests had hijacked American medical education and medical research by the 1920s. Creating virology. This medical takeover, backed by the most influential doctors' organization, the AMA, and its corrupt head, Simmons, allowed Simon Flexner to literally create modern virology under Rockefeller rules. the highly controversial Thomas Milton Rivers as director of the Rockefeller Institute's virology laboratory established virology as an independent field, separate from bacteriology during the 1920s. They realized they could manipulate far easier when they could claim deadly pathogens that were invisible germs or viruses. Ironically, virus comes from Latin for poison. Virology, a reductionist medical fraud, was a creation of the Rockefeller Medical Cabal. That highly important fact is buried in the annals of medicine today. Diseases such as smallpox or measles or poliomyelitis were declared caused by invisible pathogens, called specific viruses. If scientists could isolate the invisible virus, theoretically, they could find vaccines to protect people from harm. So their theory went. It was a huge boon for the Rockefeller cartel of pharmaceutical companies, which at the time included American Home Products, which falsely promoted drugs with no proof of effect, such as Preparation H for hemorrhoids or Advil for pain relief, Sterling Drug, which took over the US assets, including aspirin of German Bayer AG after World War I, Winthrop Chemical, American Cyanamid, and its subsidiary Lederle Laboratories, Squibb, and Monsanto. Soon virus researchers at the Rockefeller Institute, in addition to claiming discovery of the poliomyelitis virus, claimed to discover the viruses that caused smallpox, mumps, measles, and yellow fever. Then they announced discovery of preventative vaccines for pneumonia and yellow fever. All of these discoveries announced by the Institute proved false. With the control of the research in the new area of virology, the Rockefeller Institute, in collusion with Simmons at AMA and his equally corrupt successor, Morris Fishbein, could promote new patented vaccines or drug remedies in the influential AMA journal that went to every member doctor in America. Drug companies refusing to pay for ads in the AMA journal were blackballed by the AMA, controlling polio research. Simon Flexner and the highly influential Rockefeller Institute succeeded in 1911 in having the symptoms that were being called poliomyelitis to be entered into the US public health law as a contagious infectious disease caused by an airborne virus. Yet even they admitted they had not proven how the disease enters the body of humans. As one experienced doctor pointed out in a medical journal in 1911, our present knowledge of the possible methods of contagion is based almost entirely upon the work done in the city at the Rockefeller Institute. In 1951, Dr. Ralph Scobie, a critic of the Rockefeller rush to judgment on polio contagion, noted, "This, of course, placed reliance on animal experiments rather than on clinical investigations." Scobie also pointed to the lack of proof poliomyelitis was contagious. Children afflicted with the disease were kept in general hospital wards, and that not a single one of the other inmates of the wards of the hospital was affected with the disease. The general attitude at that time was summed up in 1911. "It seems to us, despite the lack of absolute proof, that the best interests of the community would be conserved by our regarding the disease from a contagious standpoint." By having poliomyelitis symptoms classified as a highly contagious disease caused by an invisible alleged exogenous or external virus, the Rockefeller Institute and the AMA were able to cut off any serious research for alternative explanations, such as exposure to chemical pesticides or other toxins to explain the seasonal outbreaks of illness and paralysis, even death, mostly in very young children. That was to have fatal consequences lasting to the present. Enter DDT. In his 1952 statement to the US House of Representatives, investigating the possible dangers of chemicals in food products, Ralph R. Scobie, MD, noted, "For almost half a century, poliomyelitis investigations have been directed towards a supposed exogenous virus that enters the human body to cause the disease. The manner in which the public health law is now stated imposes only this type of investigation. No intensive studies have been made, on the other hand, to determine whether or not the so-called virus of poliomyelitis is an autochthonous chemical substance that does not enter the human body at all, but simply results from an exogenous factor or factors, for example, a food poison. Toxins as cause were not investigated despite huge evidence. During the 1930s, with economic depression and then war, few new major outbreaks of poliomyelitis were noted. However, immediately after the end of World War II, notably the polio drama exploded in dimension. Beginning 1945, every summer, more and more children across America were diagnosed with poliomyelitis and hospitalized. Less than 1% of the cases were actually tested via blood or urine tests. Some 99% were diagnosed by merely the presence of symptoms, such as acute pain in extremities, fever, upset stomach, diarrhea. In 1938, with the support of presumed polio victim Franklin D. Roosevelt, the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis, March of Dimes, was founded to solicit tax-exempt donations to fund polio research. As presumed cases of polio literally exploded across the USA after 1945, the theory was advanced with no proof that the crippling polio disease was transmitted not by toxic pesticide chemicals like DDT, but by mosquitoes or flies to humans, most especially young children or infants. The message was that DDT can safely protect your family from the crippling polio. Officially, listed polio cases went from some 25,000 in 1943, before US civilian use of DDT, to over 280,000 cases in 1952, at the peak, more than a tenfold increase. In October 1945, DDT, which had been used by the US Army under supervision of Rockefeller Institute's Henry Coombe, as noted, was authorized by the US government for general use as an insecticide against mosquitoes and flies. Dissenting scientists warning of toxic effects of DDT in humans and animals were silenced. Families were told DDT could save their children from the dreaded polio by killing the feared insects. The US Department of Agriculture advised farmers to wash their dairy cows with a solution of DDT to combat mosquitoes and flies. Cornfields were aerial sprayed with DDT as well as fruit orchards. However, it was incredibly persistent, and its toxic effects on plants and vegetables were such it could not be washed off. Year by year, from 1945 through 1952, the amount of DDT sprayed across the US increased. Notably, so too did the number of human cases of poliomyelitis. Worst polio epidemic. By the beginning of the 1950s, increasing attention was given in the US Congress and among farmers as to the possible dangers of such heavy pesticide use, not only DDT, but also the even more toxic BHC, benzene hexachloride. In 1951, Morton Biskind, a physician who had successfully treated several hundred patients with DDT poisoning, testified to the US House of Representatives on the possible link of paralytic polio to toxins, specifically DDT and BHC. He noted, "The introduction for uncontrolled general use by the public of the insecticide DDT and the series of even more deadly substances that followed has no previous counterpart in history. Beyond question, no other substance known to man was ever before developed so rapidly and spread indiscriminately over so large a portion of the earth in so short a time. This is the more surprising, as at the time DDT was released for public use, a large amount of data was already available in the medical literature, showing that this agent was extremely toxic for many different species of animals, that it was cumulatively stored in the body fat, and that it appeared in the milk. At this time, a few cases of DDT poisoning in human beings had also been reported. These observations were almost completely ignored or misinterpreted." Biskind further testified to Congress in late 1950. "Early last year, I published a series of observations on DDT poisoning in man. Since shortly after the last war, a large number of cases had been observed by physicians all over the country in which a group of symptoms occurred, the most prominent feature of which was gastroenteritis, persistently recurrent nervous symptoms and extreme muscular weakness. He described several case examples of patients whose severe symptoms, including paralysis, disappeared when exposure to DDT and related toxins was eliminated. My original experience of more than 200 cases, which I reported early last year, has since been considerably extended. My subsequent observations have not only confirmed the view that DDT is responsible for a great deal of otherwise inexplicable human disability. Also noted was the fact that polio cases were always most in summer months, when DDT spraying against insects was maximum. The Rockefeller Institute operatives and the AMA, via their agents in the US government, created the 1946 to 1952 US health emergency called polio. They did so by knowingly promoting the highly toxic DDT as a safe way to control the mythical insect spreaders of the feared disease. Their propaganda campaign convinced the American population that DDT was the key to stop spread of poliomyelitis. Polio suddenly declines. Under leadership of the two Rockefeller Institute doctors, Henry Coombe and Thomas Rivers, the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis rejected critics such as Biskind and Scobie. Natural remedial treatments such as using intravenous vitamin C for the infantile paralysis were rejected out of hand as quackery. In April 1953, leading Rockefeller Institute DDT consultant Dr. Henry Coombe became director of polio research for NFIP. He funded the polio vaccine research of Jonas Salk. One courageous doctor in North Carolina, Dr. Fred R. Klenner, who had also studied chemistry and physiology, had the idea to use large doses of intravenous ascorbic acid, vitamin C, on the hypothesis that his patients were victims of toxin poisoning and that vitamin C was a powerful detox. This was well before Dr. Linus Pauling's Nobel Prize research on vitamin C. Klenner had remarkable success within days for more than 200 patients in the summer epidemics of 1949 to 1951. The Rockefeller Institute and the AMA had no interest in the remedial prospects. They and the Rockefeller-controlled National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis were only funding polio vaccine development based on the unproven Flexner claim that polio was a contagious virus, not a result of environmental poisons. Then, beginning sometime in 1951 to 1952, as polio cases were at an all-time high, something unexpected began to appear. The number of cases diagnosed as polio in the US began to decline. The decline in polio victims was dramatic, year by year until 1955, well before the National Foundation and Jonas Salk's polio vaccine was approved for public use and was widespread. About a year before the sudden decline in polio cases, farmers whose dairy cows were suffering severe effects of the DDT were advised by the US Department of Agriculture to reduce DDT use. Rising public concern about how safe DDT was for humans, including publicized US Senate hearings on DDT and polio in 1951, also led to a significant decline in DDT exposure into 1955, even though DDT was not officially banned in the US until 1972. So-called polio cases fell by some two-thirds in that time, in a remarkable parallel to the decline in DDT use. It was well after that decline in late 1955 and 1956 that the Rockefeller-developed Salk polio vaccine was first administered in large populations. Salk and the AMA gave all credit to the vaccine. Deaths and paralysis as a result of the Salk vaccine were papered over. The government changed the definition of polio to further reduce official cases. Simultaneously, cases of similar polio-like spinal cord nerve diseases, acute flaccid paralysis, chronic fatigue syndrome, encephalitis, meningitis, Guillain-Barré syndrome, and multiple sclerosis rose notably. Why it matters. Over a century ago, the world's richest man, oil baron John D. Rockefeller, and his circle of advisors set about to completely reorganize how medicine was practiced in the USA and the rest of the world. The role of the Rockefeller Institute and figures like Simon Flexner literally oversaw the invention of a colossal medical fraud around claims that an invisible contagious extraneous germ, the poliovirus, caused acute paralysis and even death in young people. They politically banned any efforts to link the disease to toxin poisoning, whether from DDT or arsenic pesticides or even contaminated vaccine poisoning. Their criminal project included intimate cooperation with the leadership of the AMA and control of the emerging drug industry, as well as of medical education. The same Rockefeller group financed Nazi eugenics at the Kaiser Wilhelm Institutes in Germany in the 1930s, as well as the American Eugenic Society. In the 1970s, they financed the creation of patented GMO seeds, which were all developed by the group of Rockefeller chemical pesticide companies, Monsanto, DuPont, Dow. Today, this control of public health and the medical industrial complex is exercised by David Rockefeller's protege and eugenics advocate, Bill Gates, self-appointed czar over the WHO and world vaccines. Dr. Tony Fauci, head of NIAID, dictates vaccine mandates without evidence. The fraud behind the poliovirus scandal after World War II has been refined with use of computer models and other ruses today to advance one alleged deadly virus after the other, from COVID-19 to monkeypox to HIV. As with polio, none of those has been scientifically isolated and proven to cause the diseases claimed. None. The same tax-free Rockefeller Foundation today, posing as a philanthropic charity, is at the heart of the global medical tyranny behind COVID-19 and the eugenics agenda of the World Economic Forum Great Reset. Their poliomyelitis virus model helped them create this dystopian medical tyranny. We are told, trust the science. This was Toxicology versus Virology, Rockefeller Institute and the Criminal Polio Fraud, by F. William Engdahl, 12th July 2022. William Engdahl is a strategic risk consultant and lecturer. He holds a degree in politics from Princeton University and is a best-selling author on oil and geopolitics. All of his work can be found at williamengdahl.com. Link in the show notes. If you enjoyed this video, please visit supportdrsam.com